Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Risk Pods, a service of the Georgia School Boards Association Risk Management Services. My name is David Colbert. I'm the Safety and Risk Control Coordinator. We're happy that you have joined us today. We have a very exciting podcast set up today in which we are going to share with you about a new safety resource that we are making available to our members. The name of it is School Dog, and we have with us today the Chief Executive Officer of School Dog Solutions, Buddy Costley. Many of you know Buddy Costley from being a superintendent for about 11 years in Georgia, as well as being the Executive Director of Georgia Association of Educational Leaders. Buddy, we're glad that you're with us today, and if Morning. You don't mind, give us a little bit about your history and background.
Well, that's a long story, but you know, I'm here sitting with you today just after recently retiring. One of the greatest honors of my career was to work with the Gale Board of Directors and a wonderful staff as the Executive Director of Gale from 2019 to 2024, and went through the pandemic and learned all kinds of things. And the great thing about Gale, what it's taught me before and after, is just service to other leaders. And I learned at Gale that in my 11 years as a school superintendent that we were benefiting from Gale, whether I was a member or not. And it's just really, I'm more passionate about what Gale and its organizations do than anything. And like the partnerships it has with GSBA, Page, and other organizations. But before that, I was a superintendent, obviously, for 11 years from 2008, 2019. I was a middle school principal, middle school AP, and started this ride as an English teacher, AP Lit, British Literature, and football and wrestling coach. And it's been a great ride. I've learned a lot. I've made a boatload of mistakes. And I think the reason I'm here today is benefiting from both some of those victories that we've had in the career like we all have, but also a lot of the mistakes and the hard lessons that we've learned.
Great. And we're happy you're with us. And we are proud to announce our partnership with School Dog. And School Dog is going to be provided, this safety resource is going to be provided free to our Workers' Comp Fund members. And it's going to be provided to our Risk Management Fund members at a significant reduced price of 25%. And so, Buddy, if you would, give us a little quick background on what School Dog is and how did it come about?
Well, I'll just start at the first question is, what is it essentially? Essentially, it is a web application. And we're used to apps and software devices trying to make our lives easier. It is a web application that could function on your PC, on your iOS device, on your Android device. It's device agnostic. You don't have to download it. It's a web application. It can be saved on your home screen as an app. And what it does, essentially, it's a data awareness walk instrument specifically designed to speak K-12 language to pick up safety, what I call safety signals. And so my theory, you know, just looking back, I led from, you know, 08 to 19. So think about what we led through, you know, Snowmageddon, Sandy Hook, Parkland, Florida. So like most of the people listening to this podcast today, is some horrible tragedies got cast upon us. And then we all had to kind of figure out how are we going to lead that from our standpoint. What occurred to me is I've got a boatload of curriculum data, a lot of literacy data, progress monitoring, discipline data, PBIS data, but I had very little safety data. And that's really ironic when you think about it. And I bet you everybody's just realizing that I'm just as accountable, but not more for safety data, but I have very little of it. And then the question is why don't we have it? And it's probably because it's just a pain in the tail to collect. We were trying to get Google Sheets and download random apps and trying to size up photos and insert them into documents. And for some of us, and me included, it never even occurred to us that we could have more safety data. And why would I want that data? I heard this from Gary McGibney not too long ago. The purpose of data, if you want to generate data, you're actually generating the ability to ask a good question. If you're able to ask a better question, you can be more proactive. You can save yourself from being a victim of randomness. So what School Dog does is it helps you collect signals of school security data. It could be a door that's opening that shouldn't open. It could be graffiti on a wall. It could be a nail on a board in a playground. It could be lack of mulch on the playground. Anything regarding safety, your planning, whether you have evacuation maps up, whether you've done training and climate and culture, facility and energy management. You know, and GSBA is very interested in this because it occurred to us, it's not just a security instrument, it's also a data collection instrument to reduce accidents on the workplace for workers' comp, et cetera. So SchoolDog is a tool that helps you collect data very, very simply, because it's every one of us is carrying an Apple device or an Android device in our pocket that can just open their phone and then basically enter a signal that they find, a door that opens that shouldn't, graffiti on a wall, and they can track those signals. And over time, they're going to start to see, oh, this door keeps opening. It's shown up in three different walks that we've done. Or this grade level has a certain kind of graffiti, but the other grade levels don't. That could give us a discipline initiative, a counseling initiative. And so SchoolDog helps you track that, log the data easily, but also track it over time, gives you automated reports for PDF reports. It'll have Excel in the fall so that you can literally, it makes it easy to do a safety walk, which you think about it, we have great plans. Safety plans are turned into the state. We're doing our drills. But how often do we intentionally go try to see if we can break in our own buildings or find these signals before they find us? It gives us a way to do that, track that data. And it also has a few little subtle, I'll just say, human psychology hacks that a lot of apps have to motivate human behavior. So they're not always having to feel like they're being pushed or directed. You know, I wanted our folks to feel more comfortable sharing their vulnerabilities because the state needs us to go find these things so we can fix them. So we put some human hacks in there, you know, kind of like game theory technology to kind of encourage people to be more vigilant. I'll stop here, David. The deal with SchoolDog is, if you ask me what it is a conversation that we need to be having more often. Everybody's talking right now about what device do we need to buy? What technology do we need to buy? This is not about buying a metal detector or an access control or a panic alert system. This is about improving human eyes and human vigilance. Because if we have all of those technology tools and we relax and we don't start using our eyes, I think that could make us less safe.
Excellent. And I know that you have had several districts and RESAs also that have been doing some testing with you on this. Can you kind of share some of the things that maybe have come out that you've seen that are classic examples of the purpose of SchoolDog?
Oh, it's a really cool job if you think about it. So my life for the last few months is I've had school systems in Georgia and Alabama invite me to their schools and say, okay, buddy, use SchoolDog and come try to break into our schools and then also give us all the data that you can find and let us just have that data. So it's a great opportunity for them. And I'm a trusted partner, so there's nothing to lose. So I'll give you an example just on door access. You know, and I want to make it clear. If I were a superintendent today, I would be buying probably some of the same technologies. I would have panic alert technology if I were a superintendent today. I would have door access controls, anything that I could do so I could look my parents in the eye. With that said, in the last 4 weeks, I have been able to enter a school unauthorized that had spent tens of thousands of dollars on door access controls. And I was able to break in both schools the same way. I used a mop handle that was drying next to the cafeteria, and they had set up gates that could only be opened from the inside so that kids could walk in a courtyard between wings because they're trying to make it where we can't access. So I just took the mop handle, reached over the gate, popped it from the inside, walked in the gate, and then walked in their buildings. A lot of what we're talking about, and I mentioned Gary McGibney before. Gary McGibney is known to many of us. He's worked at the DOE. He's doing a lot of talk about safety. And he's mentioning the human error factor. That gate is a human error factor. It was just a design flaw that we've never thought. And we're all victims of it. We shouldn't judge each other. We have human error all the time. So when I broke in one of the gates, I stood outside a door. This is another common thing. And I didn't even knock on it. And then an adult notices me standing outside. He knows I'm not supposed to be in the gate, in the courtyard, because the gate's locked. So he assumes I got locked out by walking from the inside. So he says, "Sir, do you need to come in?" I had no badge on. He didn't know me from Adam. I said, "Yes, sir." And I walked in. We discovered as a superintendent, it's like you can have the best plans in the world and you can tell people to do stuff, but unless you go actually check, and you can't do that once a year, you got to pull on every single door and find out ones that open. The most common thing I think I see about doors, David, is most of them are locked, but they open anyway. They are not shutting correctly, or they are old locking mechanisms and they can be yanked open. I saw one, there's a one door in Georgia that you can, if you kick the door the right way, it'll pop the locking mechanism. And the, you know who taught me how to do it? A kid and a teacher. So every kid at that school knew how to open that door and they were using it for convenience. I could talk about all kinds of issues, hazardous materials stored in closets, nails and rusty surfaces, slips, trips, and falls risks all over the state of Georgia. We are losing employees, you know, that we need because of injuries to their wrists and their ankles and their knees and their backs because they're falling. And a lot of that is preventable. And so what we do is we try to use School Dog to kind of train people's eyes so that they, once they start seeing these things, they have a hard time unseeing them.
The popping of the door certainly brings back the tragic memories of Uvalde. And that is one of the reasons that School Dog exists. What is currently set up and the plans for you working with our school members?
So it's just been a blessing. It's a blessing for us. And we just grad, it's a great marriage between GSBA and School Dog. I mean, I used to be a trustee for, you know, the Workers' Comp Fund. I know I believe in GSBA's work. You guys have some of the best resources in the state, and we just got to use those resources. So you guys are providing School Dog at no cost to all the Workers' Compensation Fund members. I think you got 70-something members in that fund, and then you're providing the discount to your risk management funds. So what we're busy doing, we're kicking up and trying to get those accounts set up because each of them is an independent account. They're encrypted. You know, they're individually housed, so you can't hack into School Dog and get access to people's data. So we're doing all those safety and encryption controls. And so we'll be setting those up in the next 4 or 5 weeks. We'll be at GSBA conference trying to teach people about what it does. I'll be there with you at the booth. And then what I'll need is a service contract signed this summer from every single system that is receiving it at no cost. That just kind of covers the liabilities, the typical boilerplate stuff. And then we'll be setting up training dates and we'll be doing a combination of live regional sites. So like, for instance, I'm in West Georgia, Northwest Georgia, RESA, for instance, got like 10 systems that are Workers' Comp Fund members. They're all going to get School Dog. And so we're going to try to set up some regional trainings. Some people will prefer webinar trainings and virtual trainings, so we'll do those as well. So we're going to work from July and August to try to get everybody trained. They'll have their accounts set up by August. Some of them are going to want to get trained before the school year starts, and some of them are going to want to wait till they start. We'll try to be flexible around their schedules, do a lot of regional trainings. We're going to do a lot of support in the first 3 months.
In terms of implementation and timelines, I know we did an earlier webinar on this subject as well. And one of the questions that came in was, is there any way we can get some of the training during the summer? And I think you maybe addressed that. And if you maybe review that here.
So here's what nobody loves to fill out surveys, but what we're trying to do is trying to give you what you want. So yeah, there's going to be some people fired up about School Dog once they see what it does. And the fact that they're getting it at no cost is just a blessing from GSBA, that member-only benefit. So I'm sending out a survey this week, and I'll keep sending reminders to it. And what we're trying to do is collect a consensus from the superintendents and district leadership is, when do I want my people trained? And how would I prefer? Would I prefer virtual training? Would I prefer on-site training? The good thing is I got people using School Dog all over the state with no training at all. I mean, if you were halfway intuitive on an app, you could pick it up and be walking in 60 seconds and log entries, and you're going to realize that it doesn't need a lot of training. The training, though, is going to help you kind of take some shortcuts, address some troubleshooting, and just be a little bit more adept at some of the subtle things that it does other than the basic features. So about 2 or 3 hour training will occur. And so the answer is yes. Some of you are going to really, really want this in July. But I also realize too, I mean, you've got a lot of other trainings you got to have in July. So we're going to try to find out that priority for them.
Okay. And I know you just briefly mentioned it, but a lot of the districts will want to know the specifics of training. And is it going to be where they're going to need to bring all administrators in at one time? Are you able to do it online? What are some of the options that are going to
be? So this is what we recommend. You know, in terms of the train piece, I just did a training in Toombs County and Candler County. You do not have to train every single staff. This is not one of those complex pieces of software that's going to take you months to master. Again, most people are using it without training. So what we're recommending is send representatives from the schools and the district, and then they do a train-to-trainer model. I mean, this is something as simple as if it was an AP that really knew what he was doing on school doc, could go back to the school, and in a 30-minute orientation, could show her principal and colleagues and the SROs in the building, this is how you use it. So we're thinking one per school max, maybe a couple of district office folks to make, because the district accounts have different features than the school-level accounts. And I think that's going to make it easier and allow it to spread. The key thing is if they miss the trainings, because every system's different, we plan on making this a professional learning community as well. So we're going to continue to do webinars, retraining, issue challenges. Like we may use School Dog and issue a School Dog challenge. We, you know, it's graffiti week. Use School Dog and go find graffiti in your bathrooms to gain information about threat assessments or what kinds of things your kids are saying or thinking about, or do door pulling week, you know. So what we're going to try to issue some challenges. And one of the things we didn't mention in the webinar we did today is there's an incentive. We didn't talk about the incentive, did we? The top, so there's 70 something systems, maybe 76, 73, the top 25 systems who we see use School Dog the most, we're going to give $1,000 scholarship donation or a safety grant, however they want to use it. We're going to make $1,000 donation to 25 different school systems if they'll just get out and use School Dog and make their school system safer.
That's great. I know one aspect that you shared with me and on the webinar earlier is about the use in one of the districts that's been piloting the program in the school resource officers. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked a question also because, you know, a lot of districts have their own police departments, right, in addition to sheriff's departments and school resource officers. Talk a little bit about that, how that benefit has really opened up and shown a lot of opportunity in your piloting program.
Sure. It's a great question. And I shouldn't have been surprised about this. I mean, it would be silly to be surprised, but I had anticipated when we started to pilot School Dog that it would be mostly APs and principals, because, and that's the whole point is that we have APs and principals who are former poetry teachers, coaches, counselors. They're not trained safety experts. And sometimes they'll just don't see things in the building that may, perhaps a law enforcement might see or a facility person might see. So we're just trying to train their eyes to get some more help to make things safer. But one of the biggest surprises we have is the SROs in our pilot system have really, really taken it off, because they're doing their rounds anyway. And they've discovered that now I can see something, log it. I don't have to even remember to send it to someone. It's going into a data hub. And now I know even the superintendent can see what I log. So the SROs wanted to see, like, they're walking around the buildings every day saying, nobody sees what I see. They're using School Dog to show what they see. And then it's getting sent to all the right players. Carroll County is one. I've got a SRO that just in the first 2 weeks of May has logged like 150 entries into School Dog at one high school in Carroll County. The SROs in Harrelson County, that was my first pilot system. They use it almost every single day. And that's the great thing is the principal can decide how she used School Dog. I've got some principals in Harrelson. They say, okay, AP, I want you to do some each month. And they look at the SRO and they say, I want you to do some every day. I want you to check doors and badges in this building every single day. You know, they've purchased, a certain vendor's panic alert badges. And they want to make sure everybody's wearing their badges. And so they check. And they use School Dog as kind of an accountability instrument for that so that they can track their progress. So the SRO, the good thing is the schools can decide whoever they want to use it. If they want an SRO to have an account, they can have the account. They'll have the report features, everything. If they don't want an SRO to have it, they don't have to.
With the last 5, 6, 7 minutes that we have here, kind of summarize your feelings and what you think School Dog is going to be able to accomplish for the school districts in terms of safety and injury prevention and all those aspects that are mentioned previously.
One, this is selfish because we do safety. We're trying to do this to take care of our people. And I guess it's tied. It's not selfish. And it's what we want for our people. And that's where we lose peace. When I was the superintendent, I sat in the chair for 11 years. You realize real quick, I'm responsible and accountable for everything that happens, good and bad. I'm accountable for this. It may not even be my fault, but I'm still accountable for it. And that is a really spooky, intimidating feeling unless you've actually sat in that chair. Principals feel something similar for their buildings as well. So the key thing that I know from that is, like, if I can just get a heads up, I can ask a good question. I do have some positional power. I can ask a question. I can make a phone call. I can send support to someone. If I know, I can just ask the right question. But if I don't have any data, I have to wait until something bad happens, or I have to make a boatload of assumptions, which is what we do. We can have the best safety plans in the world, tell people to do things in a principal's meeting, and they still not happen because they got busy. So one thing it will do is it will empower leaders to have more information, easier to collaborate as a team, and be empowered to ask better questions and be more proactive and sleep a little bit better at night. What it's also going to do is, by the act of asking the school, because we're not asking the schools to, I mean, they got schools to run. So we think of school dog as not, kind of like taking a vitamin. Use school dog and log 20 entries a month. That's it. I mean, an entry takes 10 seconds. And divide it however you want. SROs, APs, principals, just get 20 in there. What we found is if you just tell them 20, they're putting 40 or 50. And here's what we've learned. Poetry teachers like me, and I'm picking on poetry teachers because that's what I was. I didn't have any safety training. I didn't see workers. I didn't know what workers' comp was or how much it cost or whatever. Now, of course, I learned the hard way in the central office. Well, we learned that if you just share with APs, hey, start looking for things that can trip you, fall on you, stab you, infect you. Look for places that could hurt somebody. They'll start to see more of them if they log them. It's almost like a training device. So imagine being a superintendent. Now, I can look at a screen and say, I got APs, SROs, and principals and district office leaders everywhere using School Dog just a little bit a month. They're training their eyes. And this is what I've learned about their eyes. If they learn to see injury prevention issues, critical crisis prevention issues, or intruder prevention issues, their eyes don't go backwards. If they see missing rugs, finally, they'll never unsee missing rugs. They're walking right by doors that don't close today. But once they start seeing those doors, they will not be able to walk by a door and think, wait a minute, why isn't that thing closing? And the capacity you build has to. So this is not a device I'm going to rely on and get relaxed. So if I buy X device, I can relax. This actually, we're having a conversation about improving humans. So if you have thousands of humans all over the state of Georgia, they see things that they don't see today. We have no choice but to be safer. We're doing our jobs. We can look our board members in the eyes. I have data to prove it. But most importantly, we're going to have less accidents, less bad things happen. And that's going to just make life a better place in Georgia.
Well, we here at GSBA Risk Management Services are very excited about this partnership. We know that it's going to make a difference, and we're just going to continue to work with all of our members and encourage them to utilize it and take advantage of it. Our podcasts, our Risk Pods, are available by searching GSBA on all of the major podcast services. So we could have other people in other states and other schools and associations and all across the country that may come across this. What is your the contact information if anybody wants to inquire about additional or more information about School Dog?
So simple email is you can email me at buddy, BUDDY, at School Dog Solutions. That's one word, buddy at schooldogsolutions.com. And you can set up a demo. I'll send you a link and you can schedule a Zoom demo and I'll show it to you personally. If you want to email me, and you can also reach me by phone 470-765-7617.
Awesome. Thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate you coming in. We appreciate this partnership, and for our GSBA risk management members, you'll be receiving a good bit more information about this as we go through and the implementation process. And if you have questions along the way, feel free to ask us, as we want to make this as a great, a smooth transition as possible. Again, we want to thank you for joining us on this edition of Risk Pods, a service of the Georgia School Board Association Risk Management Services. Till next time, be safe.